Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. The timer on the board was incorrect, so it's time to start now. But I hate to enjoy all the good fellowship that is happening. This morning we have just a few announcements before we begin our worship service this morning. The first one is we'll be having a short teachers meeting right after morning worship service. So anyone that is 5'5 and under and teaching, that meeting is for you. Oh no, the meeting is going to be short. It doesn't. The teachers do not have to be short. We'll meet in the fellowship hall for 10 minutes after worship lets out, and it'll last no more than 15 minutes. Meeting will be short. There'll be a funeral meal for the Williams family, and there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin in the foyer, so please see Gay Barnett if you have any questions, and if you could help with that, please sign up. Coming up in a couple of Wednesdays, we have a pancake supper Wednesday, November 23rd. Mark that down on your calendar. It's a always great meal, and that's prior to our 6 p.m. worship service on Wednesday, because no one wants to cook the day before Thanksgiving. So that'll be Wednesday, November 23rd, prior to 6 p.m. Worship service. Also, there's several of us that are going to a park in Alvin at 4 p.m. this afternoon. So if you have kids that are of the age that like to play at a park, come let us know afterwards. We're going to be going to Alvin, have a bunch of us together to fellowship some more and allow the kids to play together. Just bundle them up. It's a little cold out there, but I think they'll have a good time. The next announcement, it says, please do not remove this sheet from the clipboard, and I regret to inform you it is not on a clipboard, but it'll be okay. We have a great worship service planned for you all. Russell's going to be preaching in Philippians, so if you want to go ahead and turn there, that's where we'll be this morning, and Kendall has a song service that is prepared for us as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for all of us being together for one purpose, and that is to worship you. We pray that you help to open each of our minds and you prepare us to focus on the word that is being delivered to us, and that we're all involved with worship and we're all singing, and the praise that we are giving you is pleasing in your sight. We pray these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I was looking for Herman to see if somebody could turn off the baptistry warmer.
Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still. Peace be still, they all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul, and I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. The winds. winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace, be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace, be still. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. My Lord has garments so wondrous fine, and myrrh their texture fills. Its fragrance reached to this heart of mine, with joy my being thrills. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, his great eternal love. Made my Savior go. His life had also its sorrows sore, for all those had a part. And when I think of the cross he bore, my eyes with teardrops start. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. His garments too were in cassia dipped, with healing in a touch. Each time my feet in some sin slipped, he took me from its clutch. Out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. In garments glorious he will come to open wide the door, and I shall enter my heavenly home to dwell forevermore. Out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe, only his great eternal
morning. This morning that we take this time to remember Jesus in the sacrifice that he made for us, and in this time of reflection that he wanted each of us to engage in, there's a couple of scriptures that I wanted us to look at. In John 15:12, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." When Jesus wrote these things to the world, he had not done the ultimate sacrifice yet that he was fixing to give. And when those that heard this at the time heard this, I'm sure it was curious in the aspect of wondering, what is it that you have done that is so loving? He was yet to display that love in the ultimate sacrifice that he was going to make. Later on, in John writes in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. So everything that he did on the earth while he was here was to show his love for us so we could experience what true love is. And ultimately, every week as we gather here, we are to reflect on that love that he showed for us so we might remember how much he loved us. And ultimately, the one thing he wants to remember is, I have a home for you. And that home in heaven is waiting for you. And all we have to do is remember him and be obedient to him. And as we take this time of reflection in the emblems that he left for us, that as we reflect on our life and the life that was given for us, let's remember the love that he had for us. So let us pray. Father, as we take this cup and remember the body that was given on the cross for us, the sacrifice that was made, the love that had to be displayed to give up so much, but to provide so much for us, to provide something that we could not provide ourselves in the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for this time of reflection, and we thank you for the love that you had for us. As we take this bread, we pray that we will remember you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now pray for the cup. Father, thank you for your Son and the blood that he shed on the cross. We thank you for that blood that those that have came in contact through the blood, through the baptism that you have provided for us, that we can be clean before you, that we can have life everlasting with you because of the sacrifice that was made for us. As we take this cup, we pray that you will guide us in the things that we do, that we will seek to be obedient and remember the love that you had for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Shadows are great blessings, oh, my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven, tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all.
Good morning. I'm going to read from Philippians 3, starting in 17 through 21. And this is ESV. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, and their mind set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
Good to see everyone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
Well, recently we've had a lot of things to remind us of citizenship. We had an opportunity to vote recently, and you heard a lot of people talk about things about this country. At our schools, a lot of kids at the elementary school sometimes have opportunities at school to do the announcements. At Ava's school, she got to, with four other children, got to say the Pledge of Allegiance and the Texas Pledge. And all these kids are bouncing up and down with excitement, and they're giving announcements about the school. But as they say those pledges, they're learning things about citizenship, and they're learning things at school about citizenship. The twins, Bailey and Riley, I just got their attention. You did not do anything wrong. At their school, they were doing the announcements, and one had the American flag strapped on their shoulder, and the other one had the Texas flag, and they said those pledges. This Thursday, there's a picture of Ronnie going down the hallway at school with Carly and Callie as they're honoring the veterans who served in the military, and they're learning things about loyalty and citizenship and service to the country. And in the text that we're looking at this morning, it's about citizenship. I remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger got his American citizenship, he wore an American flag around the rest of the day. It was such a proud moment for him. And I read a story about some men that were in the military in basic training. And they had gone through some hard, hard days. And a lot of them were defeated and discouraged. And they gathered all of them around. And they played "I'm Proud to Be an American." And they had the flags there. And it automatically energized that group of people and got them back in the grip of why they were doing what they were doing. In the passage we're looking at this morning, it's about citizenship, but it's about citizenship in heaven. In the text, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. And the text gets us in the grip of our citizenship. And Paul is going to give three instructions to be joyful Christian citizens in these verses from 17 through 21. What does it mean to be a heavenly citizen? And what are some things that Paul needed them to be in the grip of as citizens? How are you a good citizen of this country? Well, all of us would have opinions about what that means. But what about as Christians in our heavenly citizenship? How do we know that we're being a good citizen? He's going to give three instructions, starting with imitate believers. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us as a pattern. He says, brethren, join in. This means that all of them as Christians in Philippi were to join together in following Paul's example and marking or noting or observing others that followed that same pattern. Paul and those early leaders in the church were setting a pattern. We're setting an example of the kind of person you're supposed to be as a Christian. Jesus had taught in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 about what we were supposed to be like as citizens of the kingdom of God. And here Paul is saying part of being a citizen is following good examples. And Paul and others had set a pattern. And the Greek word there is tupos. It's the word that we get in a foundry. They take a die cast, used to be of sand, and you pour, let's say, aluminum in that die cast. Whatever that die cast is, whatever you pour in, that's what's going to come out. My grandfather made power takeoffs for irrigation engines. Paul's foundry was right behind his machine shop. All the power takeoffs that went on those irrigation engines came from Hall's foundry. They had a die cast. They poured those aluminum housings. They came to us. We drilled the holes. We put the bearings in. We did all the stuff to the housing. But a die means whatever you put in, you're going to get the same thing back out. And so as Christians, we're supposed to be following examples that match up to the examples that we have in Scripture. And we press on. We push ourselves to make sure we're following good examples. We have a lot of people in this congregation that are good examples of different things. We got some people that are kind. We have some people that are hospitable. We have some people that have amazing faith. We have some people that know their Bibles really well. Those are good examples. Look at those examples and follow them. We lead by example. It starts from the top up. The elders, the preacher, the deacons, the people should be setting good examples of the things that they do. And we are to follow those examples. Last week I told you about the word that to look, or the word for goal was a word where a watchman is on the tower and he's got a certain area that he's looking at, that he's observing carefully. It's the same word here. You have a goal to pick out good examples and follow those examples. And those examples should match up to the examples we have in Scripture. And we have all those examples. We've got Jesus' example. We've got Paul's example. We've got Timothy's example. We've got Lydia's example. We've got Dorcas's example. We've got all these examples of people. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at all the examples we have to follow. And follow those examples. Being a citizen of heaven means that we push ourselves to be more and more like those patterns. And what did Paul say? Follow me as I follow Christ. That's the premier example. That's what we're all shooting for, to be like Jesus. So he's talked about this stuff earlier, and now he's telling them, focus on the right examples. Because you want to become more and more like Jesus, more and more like Paul. You want to have that kind of faith, that kind of character that we read about in Scripture. And push yourself to get better every day. You tune your lives to Jesus. In the great novel, The Robe, the author was actually, when he was in college, boarded in a boarding house as he went to school. And down below him, there was a man who used to be a musician and a conductor. And he was in a wheelchair. He was kind of shut in. So every day he went through this ritual, he went downstairs and knocked on the door and said, "Is today going to be a good day?" And every day the professor took a middle C tuning fork and struck his chair and said, "This is middle C." The tenor upstairs gets off key. And the lady with the piano down the hall, sometimes it's out of tune. But this is middle C. It's going to be a good day. We're supposed to tune our lives to Jesus. And how do we do that? We look at his example and we follow it. And we look at the examples of those who did the same thing. And we become examples. We should be able to say, Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow the same pattern we see in the New Testament. And people should be able to look at our lives and become in character like Jesus. That's what it's all about. If you want to be a citizen of heaven, you've got to follow Paul's instruction to look at good examples and follow them. Are you becoming more and more like Jesus every day? Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If people in the world depend on you to see what Jesus is like, what kind of example are you giving them? And press on toward that goal. Then he says, avoid pretenders. If you want to be a citizen of heaven, you've got to understand that there are people in the world that are good examples, and there are people in the world that are bad examples. And there are people in the world that will speak the truth, and there are people in the world that will teach falsehood, that will say the wrong things, that won't be right. And he says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. He said, there's people in the world that are bad examples, that are false teachers, that don't speak the truth. And he says, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They give in to the appetites of the flesh, whose glory is their shame. They're enemies of the cross. And they set their mind on earthly things. They're not heavenly minded. They're earthly minded. Mark those people and make sure that you avoid the pretenders. In our world today, there's lots of people professing things about Jesus, about the church, about the second coming, about all the truths in Scripture. And many of those people that are making professions are teaching the wrong thing. He says, avoid them. Even in the church, there are people that teach things that are false. The more you understand the truth, the easier you will determine what is counterfeit. Back in the early days, they used to teach people how to recognize counterfeit money, not by focusing on the counterfeit, but by learning what the real thing was. They touched it, they felt it, they looked at it. They knew the real thing so good that they knew what was fake. That's our job. We need to search the Scripture diligently to make sure what we're being taught is true. Acts chapter 17. We need to understand that there are people that will teach false things. They will claim that they've got the truth, but is it the truth? And we have the job of weighing and measuring and looking at Scripture. Jesus said, abide in my word, showing yourselves to be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We have to abide in the word. We need to know this book. We also have to understand that our world today is very ecumenical. They will teach it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe. There's many ways to get to heaven. They will teach that it's okay if you believe this, and I'll believe this, just as long as you believe. That's what's important. That's false teaching. There's a pattern for the examples we follow, and there's a pattern for sound doctrine. The same word is used to say that we as believers have a pattern. If you plant a New Testament, you're going to get a New Testament church. If you plant a tomato seed, you get a tomato. If you plant corn seed, you're going to get corn. If you plant this book, you should get the same thing. If you get tomato over here, and somebody says, well, I planted the same thing, and you get cotton over here, somebody messed up. Because you don't get cotton, The church has a distinct identity. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to Him. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And I don't care who it is. If someone's saying something that's not in here, avoid them. But we turn on our TVs and we go to the internet and we find people that are dynamic and sound good, but they are teaching false things. If someone teaches you don't need to be baptized to be saved, they're teaching false doctrine. Why are we going to listen to them about other things? But we got pamphlets and paperbacks and we listen to all kinds of things and we let things in and we might say, well, I understand. I know what's true and what's wrong and, you know, I can... You know what? They probably said that a long time ago too. Is it true? You cannot read your New Testament and not be convicted of the importance of staying away from what is false. Look at this verse in Romans chapter 16. Let it sink in. Write it down. Make sure you look at it at home this week, but just think about this. Now I urge you, brethren, note those. What's significant about that word, note? It's the same word he's using in Philippians when he says, mark. Mark those. It's the same word. Note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Avoid the pretenders. And the best way for you to avoid the pretenders is for you to know the Word of God. And if it doesn't, if it's not true, mark them. Note that. And maybe quit listening to them. Because if they lead you off in one direction, they're probably going to lead you off in another direction. The Bible is telling us, be very, very careful about the teaching that you let into your life. It doesn't matter who it is. Check it out and make sure it adds up. Because that's what's important. If you're a citizen of the kingdom, you've got to watch out for the traps that Satan's going to set. And he may make you feel comfortable to where you think something, oh, that sounds good. Or I hear a lot of people say this, oh, it really doesn't matter what you believe about that. Yes, it does matter. Everything matters. Take that seriously. If you're a citizen of heaven, you want to follow good examples and you want to avoid the pretenders. But you also want to embrace citizenship. And our citizenship is in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things. In the end, Jesus is going to bring everything under control. And we eagerly await our Savior. And that word, eagerly await, is a Greek word that Paul uses 6 of the 8 times it's used in the New Testament. And it's about great anticipation of Jesus coming. We look forward to Jesus coming. When somebody says Jesus is coming soon, we ought to get excited and have joy because we're eagerly waiting Jesus to come. If somebody says Jesus is coming and we get scared and we're afraid and we think we got to take care of some things in our lives. If somebody says Jesus is coming soon, hallelujah, and we're like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, then something's wrong with our faith and we need to fix that. If it scares you, something's wrong with your faith. If you're not following good examples, fix your faith. If you're opening yourself up to people who teach wrong things, if you don't think it really matters all that much, if you've dropped your guard fix your faith. And if you're not excited about the fact that Jesus is coming back, fix your faith. Because it says that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to transform our lowly body, that it will be conformed into His glorious body. I'm surprised that nobody said amen. I mean, do you like your body that much? I mean, I went to the doctor this week, got MRI, I got shoulder cortisone shot. I mean, things are starting to fall apart. And I'm just fixing to turn 60. I mean, when I read the words glorious body, I like that. Don't you? Don't be deadbeat. It should excite us when we think about Jesus coming back. And the point is, we need to be heavenly minded. Our citizenship is in heaven, not on this earth. Don't make this world your home. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon us from heaven's open door, and we don't feel at home in this world anymore. Read Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, they were strangers and aliens. They looked for something that was better. We have something magnificent to look forward to. And when we struggle on earth, and when we go through suffering, and when we go through difficulties, and we go through things that challenge our faith, we need to remember that as citizens, we need to keep our thoughts on heaven. Because obstacles are what we see when we take our eyes off the goal. And sometimes we need to remember the importance of being heavenly minded, spiritually minded, of remembering that this life is going to be over someday, and for us to live as Christ and die is gain. It's interesting to me that in the Bible we have a character named Job who suffers greatly. He loses everything. And then Satan comes and says, skin for skin. Make him hurt. Give him boils all over his body. Go through Job and read all the descriptions of the stuff that he's got wrong with him. I mean, you don't want to be there. You don't want to go there. And when he was suffering the most, the worst suffering, as we go through Job, he's at the bottom. And you know what he says? For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at last on the earth, and that after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God. Wow. I know that my Redeemer lives. That God is the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, the deliverer. He looked at God. He looked at this life and said, when this life is over, God's going to be there for me. He's going to be my Redeemer. He put his trust and his hope in God. And he says, in my flesh, I will see God. What faith. And what's going to come after? And he says, I know. K-N-O-W. Two times he says, I know. We're supposed to know. I write these things, John said, 1 John chapter 5, so that you will know that you have eternal life. How important is it to be heavenly minded? To think about what's going to come later. It's real important. Job, that was a part of his faith. That verse blows my mind. When you think about where Job is at and what he's going through and what he says. Then in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 4, if then you are raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Amen. Isn't that good news? Seek those things which are above. Jesus said, don't make for yourselves treasures on earth, but make treasures in heaven. It's all over the New Testament. For us to be heavenly minded. Because heaven's going to be a wonderful place, isn't it? Think about what John says in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from heaven, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Isn't that a beautiful thought? Think about heaven. What's heaven going to be like? I can only imagine. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to be with Him. We're supposed to think about heaven because it is something that will get us through this life onto what's on the other side. When I was, years ago, when I was a youth minister, I was a part of a group with Rotary that went to Argentina to represent the United States. They picked different people to go. I went on this trip. We were there for pretty good length of time. And we would go to schools and businesses and when we talk about America. And I was blown away. I'd been to other countries, but when we were in Argentina, especially when we went to these schools, all these kids, all they wanted to know about was America. They were learning English. They were taking exams. They were learning how to be citizens. They were learning everything they could about America. They wanted to go to America so bad, they couldn't stand it. Because to them, it was something that was better. There were opportunities. There were things they wanted to do. And I remember being pen pals with a couple of them after that. Them coming to America, one went to Florida, one went to New York. They became citizens. They wrote about that process. And they're good citizens. But they wanted it so bad. The picture here Paul's painting is we should desire heaven so much and we should make sure that we're filling our minds and our thoughts and our lives up and we're becoming people that are heavenly minded because that's what's going to get us through. And people need to see our excitement. People need to say, what's up with you? I'm going to heaven. I'm a child of the King. I'm a citizen of heaven. I got my passport. I'm in Christ. He's writing people that are in Christ and he's encouraging them to be more heavenly minded because it's going to separate them and it's going to spring them forward. Do you ever do something that you're just kind of plodding along and then you change something and it makes a world of difference? So lately, you know, I told you that I'm getting, I used to be a runner, now I'm geriatric joggy, right? And I usually listen to sermons. And usually I'm thinking about what they're saying as I'm running. And sometimes, I mean, it gets kind of laborious. And it was that way this morning. It was that way just a few days ago. And sometimes when that happens, I'll flip the script and I'll turn on some music. You know, I'll put in some Earth, Wind, and Fire. Or, you know, I'll put in something that kind of gets me going. And my whole gait changes. I'm running different. I'm pushing harder. Sometimes I run a lot further. I was about to stop, but now I'm going to go further. And I start zigging and zagging in the street. I read that in a book a long time ago from Arnold Schwarzenegger. It said, run across, zigzag, so it breaks it up or whatever. So I start doing that. Sometimes I'll turn around and start running backwards and stuff. And sometimes I'm, you know, the beat gets me or whatever. And I used to be one of those guys, people at the gym would be on exercise boxes, you know, doing this or drumming or whatever. And I'd say, you know, now I are one. Right? And I'm thinking some kid's probably looking out the window saying, there goes that crazy guy again. I don't really care. If it helps me get through it, whatever, right? But sometimes we need to add a little scoop of heaven. We need to add some of these scoops that Paul is teaching us to our lives so that we run with a spring in our step, with more motivation, with more desire. We need to change the tune. What's he telling us to do? Imitate believers, avoid pretenders. Embrace your citizenship, our honor, your citizenship, whichever one you like. This week, I was thinking about heaven, and I went through our song book, and I looked at a lot of songs about heaven. And I started looking up a lot of the backstories of some of these songs that we sing. And there's one song that kind of caught my attention from our song book, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. And James Milton Black wrote this song. He went back to Pennsylvania. He was working with a group of, especially with younger kids, teaching them. And he would have them memorize scripture. He would have classes. He would call the roll for class. Well, he had met a girl, 14-year-old girl, in the alley behind the building. And she was a child of an alcoholic. There was a lot of neglect and heartbreak in her household. He invited her to start studying and come into the class. And one particular day, he called roll, and she wasn't there. And so he got to thinking, what would it be like if your name is called and you're not there? And he started thinking about heaven, and he went to his song book and he started looking for songs that talked about the roll being called, or songs about the Lamb's Book of Life. And he didn't really find very much, and so he started writing, and within 15 minutes he started writing the words of this song, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll be there. Then he found out that the girl was sick with pneumonia. Back then they didn't have antibiotics. This is back in the late 1800s. And she shortly passed away. But that song would go on to send the message of assurance and hope. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, are you going to be there? Do you have your passport? Are you in Christ? It's not about being good. It's not about being religious. It's not about being sincere. It's about being in Christ and continuing in Christ. When the roll is called up yonder, are you going to be there? Are you going to be one that he says the words to, welcome, my good and faithful servant? Are you prepared for that day? What kind of citizens of heaven are we being for our children? They're learning all kinds of things about worldly citizenship. What are they learning from you about heavenly citizenship? If you're not in Christ, change that today by confessing His name, repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, because you believe that He is the Son of God. Or maybe there's something else that you need to do as we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He bids us all. To live. Will you freed. Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
If you would please take a card from the pew or chairs in front of you, fill it out. If you're in the main auditorium, pass it out. If you're in one of the overflow rooms, pass it in, and those will be picked up at this time. Give me just a second, I'm going to get some water. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby, feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because he lives. Because he tomorrow, because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Please be seated.
Okay, now is the time during our worship for the giving. I want to thank everybody in the congregation for your generously giving back a portion of your earnings and blessings to help the Father God's plan. Without your money, the church couldn't operate and we couldn't pass on the gospel. And you know how important that is. If you've not given, there's a box in the foyer, there's a slot in the door, or you can always mail it in. And remember, God loves a cheerful giver. Now let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for being our God, for loving us and giving us everything we need. We have nothing without you. Please help us give a portion of our blessings back to you and help us do it with a cheerful heart. Please give the elders wisdom to spend the money wisely and in a manner pleasing to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.